red jacket and darker sleeves, followed through by last year's...
This is the OTB Television Network, a service of Capital District Off-Track Betting.
Broadcasting live from the Capital OTB studios, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow.
Good morning and welcome to Racing Across America on this Sunday morning. I'm Seth Merrow. Thanks for joining us. A little bit later this morning, we will be joined by Tim Wilkin from the Albany Times Union. Tim was part of the Breeders' Cup team, media team, covering it kind of in a similar fashion to the way the Kentucky Derby was covered this year. A select team of people were kind of pumping out news that a lot of news outlets used as, you know, limited access to the facility otherwise. But Tim was down there live last weekend, so I thought we'd call Tim and check in and get a kind of a final wrap-up from firsthand working individual on the grounds and get some of his thoughts on the races. I know post-race he was talking to a lot of the connections, Bob Baffert and the Tisdale Law folks as well. So again, a little bit later on, we will have Tim Wilkin join us. We'll start things out the way we normally do with some stakes recaps and a little racing conversation tossed in. Do want to remind you that today is NFL Sunday here at the Clubhouse Racebook. If you'd like to come down and watch some football action and some racing action, you can do so right here at the Clubhouse Racebook every Sunday throughout the NFL season. NFL Sunday, Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue in Albany. Love to see you down here this afternoon. Join us for some racing action and football action as well. All right. Let's jump into it and get some recap action on some of the stakes action. You know, we're in that kind of post-Breeders' Cup period where it's a little bit quiet, and so there wasn't a whole lot of stakes action yesterday, but there was some nice stakes, some nice two-year-old action. And this time of year, it's always kind of fun to look at the two-year-olds and see what they do and then kind of, you know, project out to next year a little bit. We're going to start, though, with one for the older horses. And this was a great performance. I, yesterday, in the Artie Schiller at Aqueduct, I had used Therapist on Top. And Therapist in here is going to be the number 10 horse. And as they come down the stretch, look at that number 10 Chicklet. There was no point where I thought Therapist was gonna fulfill my top pick. But this is some late run from Therapist under Javier Castellano. And look at him come, and you'll see here, Therapist over number 9, Valid Point. Delaware runs third, Rinaldi runs fourth in a blanket finish, but Therapist gets up, as I say, from that spot in, you know, late stretch, essentially, where you had to think, this is not going to happen. But he does get it done under Javier Castellano for Christophe Clement. State bred, New York State bred, coming off of a lifetime best buyer. I didn't see the buyers yet today for yesterday's races, but a lifetime best buyer in the Mohawk, running second behind Some Like It Hot Brown last time. And so for me, he looked kind of logical in there. But you still, and the betting public thought he looked logical too. Not in a strong fashion, though. He was the favorite, but at 3-1, you got over $8 there on Therapist. But you had to sweat out that stretch run to get that $8. Nice performance, though, from Therapist, getting it done, as I say, as the favorite, and getting it done in dramatic fashion down there in the Artie Schiller at Aqueduct. A little earlier on the card, now we are talking some two-year-olds, two-year-old New York breds in the notebook. And it was a nice field of, as two-year-old stakes races often are this time of year, some horses that so far had shown some promise and some potential coming off of either decent stakes performances or maiden breakers that looked very good. And as I say, that's the case this time of year with the two-year-old races. So there's all kinds of potential in the race, and it's just how's it going to shake out. I used Blue Gator, who came into the race 2-for-2 and had won the New York Breeders' Futurity last time at Finger Lakes. Blue Gator is going to be the number 7 horse. I had Eagle Orb down in the third position. Eagle Orb coming out of a nice second after showing early pace in the Sleepy Hollow previously. So he had already had some stakes experience and also run second in the Funny Side up at Saratoga. And Eagle Orb, as you see here, for Rudy Rodriguez and Manny Franco, nice late run to get it done by 2 3/4. And then Blue Gator, a pretty clear second in here. Market Alert third, Horn of Plenty fourth. But Eagle Orb gets it done. Now a couple of wins in 5 career starts, stakes victory, a couple of stakes placings as well. So he's a nice one. But Blue Gator ran well also. And you would think has a future as a nice little 3-year-old New York bred next year as well. Comes out of a couple of wins and runs a good second in a stakes race. As I say, last time winning the New York Breeders' Futurity. And he did that over Thin White Duke, his last race for Blue Gator. So the second on the move to Aqueduct was, you know, again, continued what seems to be a pretty good 2-year-old season for him. So Blue Gator now, a couple of wins and 3 starts with a second place finish. Eagle Orb, a couple of wins and 5 starts with a couple second place finishes. So as I say, 2 nice little New York bred 2-year-olds that will be fun to watch going forward as 3-year-olds next. Not that they're necessarily done this year, but certainly they have a nice little future ahead. All right, we will take a look also yesterday at Laurel. There was a couple of 2-year-old stakes. And these are always fun. These 2-year-old stakes kind of this time of year at Laurel produce 2-year-olds who, aren't necessarily going to raise to the top of the crop, but certainly have the potential to be nice 3-year-olds bouncing around a nice 3-year-old stakes circuit in that Mid-Atlantic region next year. We'll see how it works out for these. They can be any kind, and they can elevate themselves up. I put the winner on top of the Lewis yesterday. The Lewis was the boys' version. There was a boys' and a girls' version of 2-year-old stakes at Laurel yesterday. And I liked No Sense. Came in for Kathleen Lynch off a couple of wins, had broken the maiden in the second career start at Monmouth, and then had a ding-dong battle and allowance downwards of 1 other than. No Sense is going to be the 3 horse. Got 4-1 from a 6-1 morning line. Trevor McCarthy was on board, gave the horse a nice ride. We'll get it done here by a length and a quarter over Dalton, the number 4 horse, who went off as the 3-1 favorite. And then Legamo runs third in here. But as I say, wound up with a nice little $10 and change price on No Sense, who is now 3-for-4 in the career, now has a stakes victory in one of his pockets. So he'll be a nice little 3-year-old moving forward. No Sense, 2-year-old by Golden Sense. Again, trained by Kathleen Lynch, ridden by Trevor McCarthy, and getting it done in the Jim Lewis yesterday at Laurel in good-looking fashion, I thought. So now 3 for the last 3 starts. So, again, this will be a nice little 3-year-old going forward. All 3 starts so far, obviously, at the sprint distance. All 3 wins at 6 furlongs. So does this horse stretch out? You know, what will be the game plan as a 3-year-old? But you know, those are the questions that if you're the connections of a horse like this, you like to have, because so far so good, and we'll see what happens going forward with No Sense. But again, nice talented runner so far. So, and as I say, decent for a horse that looked pretty good, decent little $10 and change price too in the Lewis yesterday at Laurel. We will move on to Smart Halo. That was the 3-year-old girls version of the 2-year-old stake yesterday. And again, there was $100,000, like in the Lewis, $100,000 up for grabs going 6 furlongs. I like Prodigy Doll number 5 over number 1 Street Loot. The betting public likes Street Loot, and they were correct. Street Loot went off as the 3-2 favorite. No surprise, really. I mean, this is a horse that had 3 starts going in. Street Loot's the number 1. Out of Sorts number 2 runs 2nd. And number 4, Be Sneaky, runs 3rd. The horse I like, Prodigy Doll, who went off as the 2nd favorite, winds up 4th in here, the number 5 horse. But the winner, number 1, Street Loot, again, 3-2 favorite, $5 win price, wins pretty easily. With the X-Man, Xavier Perez on board. Again, broke the maiden in the debut effort over at Delaware, followed up in a little stakes win at Delaware as well, and then tried the Maryland Millions Lassie last time right here at Laurel and just missed. So no surprise that the betting public told that. As I say, I had him right underneath, had her right underneath. But now 3 wins, 4 career starts, a couple of stakes victories, close up 2nd. So again, I thought both of the 2-year-old stakes at Laurel yesterday had fun fields with some potential, and came out the same way. I thought the winner of both of the races were horses that are going to be interesting, probably. You would think, as 3-year-olds, a little bit unknown what their game plan will be, in that it's, they both came into it as sprinters and won sprint races, but they'll be fun to watch going forward. Both No Sense and Street Loot, the winners of the 2-year-old stakes at Laurel yesterday. Excuse me. And out at Del Mar, we also had some 2-year-olds in the feature at Del Mar yesterday. The Desi Arnaz. I wonder how many of the audience doesn't know Desi Arnaz, but I Love Lucy. It was Lucille Ball's husband, who I believe was one of the founders of Del Mar, if I'm not mistaken. But the Desi Arnaz yesterday at Del Mar was for the 2-year-old fillies. And Astute goes off at 5-1 off a decent-looking debut effort under Mike Smith, and so you got a great price here. The favorite was Private Mission, the number 2 for Bob Baffert. And a Bob Baffert name, obviously, he's going to carry a lot of weight. Baffert's runner had a debut victory with a 76 buyer. Astute had a debut victory with a 70 buyer. Astute's victory, however, was on the grass over at Santa Anita. Astute's going to be the number 7 horse. And as I say, debuted on the turf at Santa Anita, ridden by Mike Smith that day. Smith got off, and the follow-up articles had Mike Smith saying, I thought she was good on the turf. She was really good on the dirt. So LNJ Foxwoods, who have become prominent, notable owners, coast to coast, really, over the past couple of years, are the owners, and they have a nice little 2-year-old filly going into next season as a 3-year-old filly. Again, when Mike Smith gets off and gives some raves like that. Queen Gold went in 2nd, Heels Up ran 3rd in there. The Baffert favorite winds up a disappointing 4th at 1-2. But no disappointment for the winner, Astute. Again, nice little 2-year-old filly out on the West Coast for Richard Mandela, with Mike Smith, as I say, getting off raving. And now this one has all kinds of options. Again, both of the races so far, you had 5.5 on the turf, 6.5 yesterday on the dirt. But they have all kinds of options that they've won on the turf, they've won on the dirt. The future looks bright at this point for Astute, coming off of a win yesterday in the Desi Arnaz at Del Mar. All right, that takes you through some of the stakes action. As I say, a little light on the stakes card as we are in that post-Breeders' Cup period. There's still lots of great stakes action throughout the fall. I mean, Cigar Mile Day and Clark and whatnot, lots of great stakes action. It's just, you know, leading into the Breeders' Cup, leading out of the Breeders' Cup, there's usually a week or two where things are maybe a little lighter than we would normally expect, and that was kind of the case yesterday, although, again, there were some nice performances that are worth maybe making check marks and notes next to as far as going forward as well. All right, let's head to our break. As promised earlier, we will be joined after the break by Tim Wilkin from the Albany Times Union, who was covering the Breeders' Cup last weekend live from Keeneland. We'll get some of his thoughts right after this. Stay tuned.
Where's the best place to find your favorite teams, your favorite food, daily drink specials, and wagering on live horse racing? Legends Field Sports Bar, 711 Central Avenue, Albany. Get your game on day or night with 75 flat-screen TVs, tournament-style pool tables, a private banquet room, and live horse racing. So if someone asks you, where's the best sports bar in the Capital Region, tell them Legends Field Sports Bar, inside the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
What if there was a way to become a better horse player? To have a better knowledge of the game? To be more successful? What if there were a way to take what you've learned, what you know, and make better decisions, better choices? In horse racing, knowledge is a powerful tool. Race results and replays, past performances and live streaming, wagering from all your digital devices. Capital OTB. Become a better horse player.
Birdstone is an outside threat. They're coming down to the finish. Can Smarty Jones hold on? Here comes Birdstone. Birdstone surges past. Birdstone wins the Belmont Stakes.
But here comes High Chaparral. High Chaparral, the defending champ, to take it to Papa. These two arch rivals head to head with Joe Hart bearing down on them. It's going to be a three-horse photo finish to the turn. Here's the wire. Photo finish.
Welcome back to Racing Across America on this Sunday morning. We're a week later, a week out from the Breeders' Cup, but I thought, we'll put a period or an exclamation point on the week with a little final Breeders' Cup wrap-up from someone who was on the grounds during the Breeders' Cup weekend, Tim Wilkin, part of the Breeders' Cup media team. Tim, good morning.
Hey, Seth, how are you?
Very good. Happy to have you on board to get some conversation about last weekend. Saw a lot of your tweets coming out, and you guys, the media team, did a great job pumping out a lot of information for folks, and everybody certainly appreciated that. Before we get into some specifics, I'm just curious. You and I were at Saratoga throughout the entire meet. That was very different. We were over in the dining room for the auxiliary press box, and walked down on the apron after stakes races, and as they say, it was a very different experience. Had to be very different at Keeneland as well. No fans, but from looking around, it looked like there was a bigger crowd with owners and whatnot than was present at Saratoga. But give us the firsthand report. What was it like the 2 days there, given the no fan situation at Keeneland?
Well, you know, I don't think everybody got the memo on no fans, because there were a lot of people there. And I'm not so sure that all of them were owners. There was, it's tough to guesstimate how many people were actually there, because they weren't putting a number out. But when I was out at the Winner's Circle area, paddock area, for the Classic and the Distaff, and there was a bunch of people there, and not all of them for sure were owners. I think that Keeneland got a little lax in their allowing who they allowed in, but they were definitely not just owners. I mean, every owner was supposed to get 6 tickets to get in. And, you know, I think, and if you were able to secure more, you did that for people that weren't using theirs. I mean, I know that the Saratoga crew got more people in there. Within the rules, they were allowed to get more seats. But I'll tell you one thing, just walking around those grounds, I mean, at Saratoga, I think the Travers Day was the only day where it looked like there were people in there, and that was, I mean, maybe 200. But there was, I would venture to guess, there were maybe 5,000 people there each day. And it was a little uncomfortable because of, you know, everything going on with the coronavirus and the fact that Kentucky, like every place else in the country, is spiking big time with the cases. But, I got my coronavirus test when I left Kentucky, and I got another one when I came back. I got my results back, so I am not going to be King Corona. I am coronavirus free.
That's what we like to hear. Yeah, I hadn't even thought about that. You had, on the return, you had to go by the new protocols, right?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I actually drove down, Mike Kane and I, Mike is a longtime writer from this area, Mike was working for the Breeders' Cup notes team, he and I drove from Albany Lexington, and it wasn't as bad a drive as I thought it was. It was only like 11 hours, and we broke it up. But we went and got our tests on Saturday, you know, because we were coming back on Sunday. And then we both quarantined for 3 days. Then we got another test on Thursday. And, you know, I'm assuming that his came back negative as well, because mine did. I got the results yesterday. So, yeah, it's, you know, now I'm just going to wait and watch the snowfall, I guess, whenever that comes.
Yeah, you ain't kidding. It's starting to get a little stifling. There's no question about it. But we did get a little break as racing fans with the Breeders' Cup last weekend. Let's talk some of the specifics. Let's take a look at the classic stretch run here. It'll be number 9, Authentic, who took them all the way around. Improbable, the 8 runs second. Global Campaign, third. The disappointment for our area is the 3-1 favorite. Number 2, Tis the Law, runs sixth in here. Also pulled up a picture of your Twitter feed where you are enjoying a little visit with Bob Baffert and Authentic, the winner. But give us your thoughts on the classic, how it worked out for the eventual winner, Authentic, and the disappointment for Tis the Law.
Well, everyone knows that Authentic likes the lead, and he got the lead, and he became very dangerous when that happened. You know, that's his style. That's the way he runs. And John Velasquez got him in a perfect position, just like he did in the Derby, and no one could catch him. And, you know, Bob had said all week that he thought he was going to run 1-2-3. He was confident that he could run 1-2-3, not giving me who was going to be those three in order. But he said that he would have been very surprised if he didn't win the race with one of them. And, you know, he was close. He was first and second. And, you know, Maximum Security, who I think has lost a step, was never really a factor. And to get to Tis the Law, you know, that's the biggest disappointment for a lot of people in that race, especially the people around here, because Tis the Law really was never a factor. And as soon as he drew the inside 2 post, he's never drawn that inside 4. Of course, there was the alarm went up. Boy, he doesn't like to run on the inside. I mean, watching the race, I don't know if he didn't like running on the inside. Manny Franco got crucified for his ride, and it eventually cost him the ride. I mean, he was taken off a couple days ago, and he's going to be replaced by John Velasquez. And, you know, with that, the way I look at that is I feel bad for Manny, because Manny was, I think, riding the race differently in his mind than he was on the track, because he was instructed to get off the rail. And I think, you know, the way the race started, you think if he would have just tried to track an Authentic, would have had a better shot. I don't think he was going to win the race, but he might have been second or third. But I think when the guy in his head, he's thinking what Barkley told him and what Jack Knowlton told him. And I think he was just not riding his race. He was trying to ride their race. And I think it cost him big time, because he did throttle the horse. The horse wanted to run, it looked like to me. And Manny didn't allow that to happen, because he was more worried about trying to get outside. And once he did get outside in the top of stretch, the horse had nothing left. So it was unfortunate for him, because, you know, going into that race, if he would have finished in front of Authentic, he would have definitely 1-year-old of the year, even if he hadn't won the race. If he won the race, obviously he would be 3-year-old horse of the year. Now he's going to get nothing. I mean, he'll win the New York Bred horse of the year. I'm positive of that. Sure. But there were so many things that was on the line for that horse. And, you know, I've heard the things about, well, he wasn't facing tough competition in his last 2 races. And people that say that, I mean, listen, the horse was second in the Kentucky Derby. And it was obvious to me he didn't like Churchill Downs. In this race, I mean, not that I'm trying to make excuses for the horse, but he just did, he wasn't there. And I think that when he runs next in the Pegasus, maybe we'll see the real Tis the Law. I hope so. I mean, but I do feel bad for Manny Franco, because he's a good rider, and he's got a lot of years in front of him where he's going to be a top rider in New York. And I'm sure he's dying to get a mount for the Pegasus, because I'm sure the one thing he'd love to do now is to beat Tisdall off. But, you know, off winning the Classic, he is now going to be the horse of the year and the top three-year-old of the year. I don't think there's any doubt on either. I think the only horse that I think the horse that'll finish second is Monomoy Girl, who won the Distaff.
Yeah, absolutely. Just before we move away from Authentic and Tis the Law and the Classic, I read the tweet you sent out where you had talked to Barclay after the race, and boy, you could just through the quote you had where you said, well, you know, he had a really good year. And Barclay answered that. You could tell, you could read the disappointment with Barclay's response.
Yeah. You know, Barclay Tag doesn't get these kind of horses. He's, this is probably the best horse he's ever had. And that's also taking into account that he had Funnyside, you know, 17 years ago. Barclay Tag is one of the hardest working guys on the backstretch. He does things the right way. He knew that this horse, you know, and he's not a young man anymore. He's 82 years old, and he's just hoping that this horse was going to take him places that he'd never been before. And Tis the Law did take him to some places that he'd never been before. He'd never been the favorite in the Breeders' Cup Classic. I mean, Funnyside, when he won the Derby, he wasn't the favorite. And when Tis the Law was in the Kentucky Derby, he was the biggest favorite the race has seen in years. I mean, Tis the Law is really put Barclay Tag into the national picture, a place that he hasn't really been. And, you know, I think that with everything he's done, I think maybe it's time to put him in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. There certainly is a case to be made for that, no question about it. And as I say, you could kind of feel the disappointment. But the interesting thing is, Tis the Law coming back for a four-year-old season, so we'll have that to look forward to. You mentioned it before, and I wanted to pull up and get some thoughts on it because I had Brad Cox on yesterday, and we certainly talked about Monomoy Girl. But I'm just curious, you know, what the reaction was there on track, perhaps, and whatnot. We'll watch the stretch run of the Distaff. Number 10, Monomoy Girl, gets it done as the even money favorite. Valiant's third, Valiant's second, Dunbar Road runs third. But Monomoy Girl, just after taking all of last year off, coming back this year, the first start, if you looked at the buyer number of first start, you thought, was she going to come back the same? And then has validated herself in the last three starts, including this win in the Breeders' Cup Distaff. And as I say, I'm just curious what the response was there at Keeneland and what your thoughts were and are on Monomoy Girl.
Well, it was obviously a very popular win. I mean, Brad Cox is a Kentucky guy. Monomoy Girl is a fantastic story. I mean, you know, she won this race in 18. These horses aren't supposed to be able to do what she did off of a year layoff. I mean, they're just not. This horse is just special. And, you know, and Brad Cox, that was the cherry on his ice cream with the Breeders' Cup, because, you know, he won four races. That hadn't been done since Mandela did it in 103. And, you know, this is just, I think the coolest part of the story, Seth, though, is then the next night she went up, she was put up for sale. And they both, I think she went for $9 million. And then they, Spendthrift, put her back in training to Brad Cox. So she's going to run again next year, which I think is the best part of the story because, you know, face it, racing needs to have some of these horses stick around. You know, we're not going to see Authentic anymore. We're not going to see Improbable anymore. Tom's the Tot, who was probably the biggest disappointment after Tis the Law, who didn't run in the Classic. I mean, he's seven, but he's done now. These horses, you know, the fans get attached to them. And, you know, I think it's great that Monomoy Girl's going to be back. And hopefully, and there'll be a rematch with Swiss Skydiver, who beat the boys in the Preakness, who, you know, stumbled coming out of the gate in the Distaff, and she got chewed up a little bit in her hooves. But, you know, I would love to see them race again, both of them at full strength. and see what happens, because I think Swiss Skydiver has the potential to be very special. She's very special now.
Yeah.
But, Monomoy Girl, you just can't take anything away from her. She's a classy, classy mare, and, it's great that we're going to get to see her run again next year.
Yeah, I whispered in Brad's ear when I had him on. I said, yeah, there's the personal Ensign up here. Keep that in mind. I'd love to see her come up here. That would be great. I wanted to talk about one more filly on Saturday and get some thoughts because, again, I went out to your Twitter feed and got a picture of you and the horse. One of the big performances, I thought two performances that stood out, Nashville in a non-Breeders' Cup race, you got to think they're kicking themselves they didn't go in the sprint with Nashville. But you understand why he was so lightly raced. But I thought Nashville looked great. And Gamin, and we're going to take a look at the Filly and Mayer sprint. Gamin is going to be the number two horse here under John Velasquez, part of his big weekend, too. That was another one of the human stories, John Velasquez with the Breeders' Cup wins. But Gamin over Serengeti Empress, who is very, very good herself. And then Bell's the One runs third. But Gamin, and as I say, pulled up from the Twitter feed, the aforementioned Mike Kane, you and Gamin in a picture as well. But give us some thoughts on the performance in the Filly and Mayer sprint.
In talking to Baffert all week, that Gamin was the horse he wanted to win the most because of everything that filly's gone through with, being in the headlines for all the wrong reasons, because she tested positive twice for substances that I believe are regulated substances, but they were found in her system. And they should have been passed through her system. They were still in her system on race day, and Baffert was under the impression that he was told by the vets and regulators that the regulated substance would have been through her system before those races, and it wasn't. So it was a bad look for Baffert. He'll readily admit that. He did admit that, saying, I got to do better. It's my fault. But he says he didn't do anything wrong because he thought he was playing by the rules. And, of course, he's being crucified by everybody that doesn't really understand what is going on. And that's, again, where you should have a commissioner, one commissioner for this sport. So there's not different rules in different places all over the country. Because contamination is going to happen with horses. I mean, it's going to happen. I mean, the one thing was the lidocaine issue. When they were in Arkansas, Jimmy Barnes had, and some of it got into the horse, and the horse tested positive. So, but yeah, Gamin is a fast, fast, fast horse. And, she's as friendly as she is fast. Believe me, I have firsthand knowledge of that. I mean, she's just, we saw her when she in New York, when she won the Acorn in record time, and then she came up to just blew everyone away in the test. She didn't beat a bunch of slouches in that sprint. I mean, there were some good horses. Serengeti Empress will make you work.
Yeah.
And, Gamin just showed her class, and it was just, it's nice to see these kind of performances, but.
Oop, did we lose Tim? Yeah, we may have lost him, but I was going to wrap up anyway because there's an early post time at Aqueduct today, and they're already underway with the Naira pregame show. So maybe we'll just wrap it up rather than recalling, because I was really just going to – I had a couple of follow-up finish questions, but we got to throw it to the Naira pregame, as it is an 11:50 post time today at Aqueduct. Just want to remind you of that, and as I say, they're already underway. Andy and the big A, Anthony Stabile, taking a look at the card. So it's an abbreviated Racing Across America because of that early start today at Aqueduct. I'm hoping sooner rather than later they settle on kind of a wintertime post time that goes and we can kind of count on, because it seems like over the past couple of months they've been bouncing around a little bit. But now with the early onset of darkness and trying to get in 10 race cards. They've started at 11:50 a few times, so we will see if that works out. And if that becomes more of the norm, we'll just move a little bit earlier in the future. But for this morning, I'm going to wrap it up for Racing Across America. Appreciate Tim joining us, giving us some thoughts, as again, he was live on the ground last weekend at Keeneland. Appreciate your joining us. Don't forget, it's an NFL Sunday here at the Clubhouse Racebook. Come on down, watch the football action, enjoy the racing action as well here at the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue in Albany. All right, we'll wrap it up. We'll send it down to the NYRA pregame show with Andy Serling and Anthony Stabile. I will be back as the post time's 11:50. I'll be back in about an hour or so with OTB Live for Sunday afternoon. So stay tuned for all of that. We'll see you in a few. Thanks for joining us.
You're watching OTB TV, a service of Capital Off-Track Betting.